Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you know you make me wanna shout, come on now, shout, come on now, shout, come on now, shout, oh yeah, yeah, shout, come on now, shout, come on now, shout, shout, yeah, shout, yeah, come on now, throw your hands up.
Show. I've been away for a while, but some things never change. The bozos are still on the attack. The other day, you know, I haven't been around for a while. I Googled my name just to see what's going on, and I came up with this posting from an HR blog. And in case you don't know what HR is, it's human resources. The posting is called The Comic Book World of the Recruiting Animal. And I'm going to read you the best lines. It says, most political blogs seem to be written by spiteful shut-ins who prefer name-calling and contempt to thoughtful critique. Now this style of writing has been spread to the world of recruiting by the appropriately named Recruiting Animal, whose online radio show is chock full of shallow stereotypes and unbearable howling. I don't know where he got that. I'm almost done. His ludicrous style of interviewing reinforces the image of the blogosphere as the realm of the non-professional communicator. Now tell me, what can I say about that? I hope that guy's listening today, because I'm going to teach you something, pal. There's two kinds of people writing business blogs. There's the storekeepers and the cowboys, and I'm a cowboy! The storekeepers, they just want to make sure their aprons are on straight. And they hate me because I want to get drunk and shoot up the town. And let me ask you, what's wrong with that? Would you rather have me going around asking everybody, how can I help? How can I help? Or doesn't my white paper make me look like a visionary? No, you don't want that, and neither do I, and neither do the millions of fans around the world who count on me, their mighty Quinn, to deliver the truth about recruiting every single week. And you know what? Speaking of fans, you know, this show is killing my voice, but speaking of fans, just the other day, I got an email from somebody named Yin Chang. It would be a little cuter, I know, if it was Yin Yang, but it's Yin Chang. And I said to myself, wow, another fan in Shanghai, she must have heard about me at the Olympics. Even though they weren't in Shanghai, but I was wrong anyway, I admit it. Yin Chang lives in New Jersey. She's a PR representative, and she wanted me to interview her client. That's the first time I've been approached in that way, so you can imagine I was pretty impressed. Nevertheless, I don't take just anybody. I said, Yin, does he like to drink during an interview? Does he like to drink during an interview? That's what I said. And she said, yes. And I said, Yin, is he packing a rod? That's a gun. And she said, of course. And I said, Yin, does he swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth? And she said, so help me God. And that's how I got my guest for today. His name is Donnie Breckenridge, and he's a star CEO of Sendouts.com. And I got to say, he's one of those guys you love to hate, because he made it into the top 30 under 30. But I'm going to ask you, give this guy a break, because it was only in St. Louis. It wasn't nationwide. He's not that high and mighty, and he isn't under 30 anymore anyway. He's just like you and me. So let's see what he's got to say when he speaks to me, the Recruiting Animal, on the Recruiting Animal Show. I'm here.
Hey.
I can barely hear you. Can anybody hear him? Can we start
hey, Animal.
This again?
Yeah,
oh, Animal.
Yeah.
Animal, I'm here.
Okay, good. That's a little better. Talk into your mic, can you?
Hey, listen, Animal.
Listen, the first thing we're going to do today, you know what that is? We're going to sing. We haven't sung on this show for a long time. I've been away for a month. So I'm going to tell you what you've got to do. All you've got to sing is the chorus, and I'm going to get some people from the couch. That's what the visitors are called. I'm going to get them to help you. Are you in?
I'm in.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to sing every Wednesday at 12 o'clock. Recruiters listen to a demagogue. Everyone was astounded. Oh, baby, don't you sleep, okay? And then you have to keep saying, oh, baby, don't you sleep. So let me get you some people. Let's see who's there, okay, and who's in. Area code 314. Is that you, Donnie?
Yeah.
Okay. Area code 416. Uh-oh. Who's that?
Hey, Animal. That was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Who's this?
It's J.D.
Jason Davis. Are you going to sing?
Yeah, but I first want to ask you something.
I can barely hear you. Where are you?
I'm in Toronto, but I'll sing, but I need to ask you something.
Go ahead.
Are you coming to Recruit Fest?
No, hasn't it been already?
No, it's September.
That's not funny. I thought it's been a long time. I thought you had it already.
It's September 19th. Are you coming?
Donnie, can you hear this guy? I can barely hear him.
I can hear him loud and clear.
Okay, well, I don't think I'm coming, J.D.
Why not? It's going to be great.
Look, didn't I see on recruitingblogs.com that you said out-of-the-box thinking is fine, but shrieking out-of-the-box is not fine, and I know you were talking about me.
That wasn't about you.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't.
Yes, it was. I know it. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not happy with the speakers anyway. They're a bunch of dead white guys, aren't they?
What about Susan Burns?
Well, I don't really think she's that diverse. What about the people under 30? Where are they?
You know what? You're just making something out of nothing again.
I don't think I am.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Is that it? You finished? Good, because I had enough of you. You know, Donnie, this guy comes on the show. He's always plugging something.
Wait. Just wait a second.
Okay. Get out of here! Donnie, I'm sorry. He's gone, okay? I'm cutting him off right now. Okay. Area code 973, who's that?
That's me. It's Yin.
Sister Ray? Who is it?
No.
I can't hear you.
It's Yin.
Who
is
it?
It's Yin
Chang.
Well, I don't know. Donnie, let's forget it. Forget it. No singing. The show's going downhill. We haven't been on 5 minutes, Donnie. We got to move on, okay?
We had such a good start.
Yeah, okay. Listen, look, you were in the top 30, under 30. What does that actually mean? Does it mean you're rich or what? I don't know what that means.
No, it doesn't. It just means that I was when I was young, I got started in business and started sendouts, and for some reason, Business Week, St. Louis Business Journal picked me up and
the St. Louis Business Journal.
The St.
Right?
Louis Business Journal, yeah,
okay.
Picked me up as a 30 under 30. I'm not sure how I got in there.
I got a feeling your family's friends were on that committee. These things, hold on, JD's back. He's asking, leaving me a message. Let me on for another second.
Yeah, I want to give everybody the URL for Recruit Fest.
Okay, what is it?
That's it. It's just recruitfest.com.
Recruitfest. Okay, is that it?
That's
it. Get out of here! Hold on a second. JD.
Yes.
Do you know anything about applicant tracking systems?
A little bit. Well,
nothing. Okay,
not as much as Don.
Okay, beat it. Forget it. We don't need you. Okay, Don, so your parents' friends got you into this thing, top 30, under 30. Is that what you said?
That's not what I said, but maybe. I don't know how I got in there.
What did you get for it? Did it get you any business? I mean, like, I'm curious about these contests. Do they do anything for you?
Well, it really wasn't a contest. No, it got a little bit of publicity here in St. Louis, but that's about it. There really
any
wasn't.
Any business? Did it give you any business?
No, it really didn't.
Oh, so you really, you know, you don't recommend it for young people. It's not a goal. It's not something they should aim at because it's really worthless. Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't say it's worthless. It was fun. I got to meet a lot of other people that were 30 under 30.
And so it's great networking, but no, it didn't really help our business take off.
Okay, enough of that. You know what? Speaking of young people, they in the Toronto Star, they had the people, the students who done best in school this past year, now that they're going back to school or wherever they're going, university. Anyway, so I was really surprised that these kids said that their parents did not micromanage them, they did not control them. Most of them seem to be implying, indirectly and directly, that they were just smarter than the other kids or more driven naturally. So since you were such a superstar under 30, how do you see your upbringing as being part of your success? And we'll talk about, well, go ahead. Answer that if you can, then I'll bring in the other one.
Sure. Well, I grew up, both my parents were serial entrepreneurs. And
my
dad was a real estate developer, a hotel developer, and my mom.
Can anybody hear this guy? Am I
going
deaf?
Yes, you're the only one that can't hear Animal.
Hey, you know who that is? That's the work farce. Congratulations. Sorry, Donnie, he just got married.
Oh, congratulations.
At the Scottish Rite.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
Minneapolis. Okay, enough of you for now, work farce. But, yeah, okay, Donnie, you know, you want to come out loud in the recording so people can hear you, not just me, okay?
No problem. I'll yell
sure
into the phone.
Into the speaker.
I am.
Okay, if you're going into your family background, I read all about it, okay? The entrepreneurial knack just may run in Don Breckinridge Jr.'s veins. He followed the path set by his entrepreneurial parents, real estate developer Don Breckinridge Sr. and Diane Breckinridge, who owns an interior design firm. Okay, so that's who your parents are. What did they do for you? Did you inherit the drive? Did they micromanage you? Did they give you a leg up? Tell us. Wait a second. Don't tell us. Are you an entrepreneur, yes or no?
Yes, very much so.
What role did your family play?
It's more the environment that I grew up in. It's the only thing that I knew. For 1 year out of school, I worked for somebody else, but after that, I went off and started my own business. So it's just in my blood. I'm not sure I can explain it.
Okay. It's, anybody else want to comment on that? Workforce.
Yes, sir.
Do you know any entrepreneurs?
Absolutely.
What did this guy say? It's just in his blood. Do you believe it? I wasn't clear about what he was talking about.
You know, I think that there are, there's a couple of old adages. You never get rich working for someone else, right?
Yeah.
And people either strive to...
Are you going somewhere with this?
Yes, I am, David. So check this out. And there are also people that are unemployable. You know, the people that just have to do their own thing because and maybe our friend Donnie here
okay,
is...
Okay, well, later. Scott, sit down, will you? Let's see who else is here. Just 1 second. Okay, 973. Is that Yin? Y-I-N?
Yep.
Okay. Area code 408. Who are you?
You know who it is, Animal.
That's you?
That is.
I thought you were 317. Oh, no.
No,
William Uranga?
It is.
He's my buddy from Twitter. Donnie, how come you're not on Twitter? I couldn't find you there.
No, I know I'm not on Twitter, but I'm on Facebook. I saw you send me an invite.
Yeah, I sent you to be my friend on Facebook. Area code 760. Who's that?
That's Rayanne. Rayanne.
Sister Ray, wasn't that the big song from the Velvet Underground?
I have no idea.
Well, that's your name now, Sister Ray. Okay, I'm not giving Donnie a chance, okay? Yin, if you've got something to say, I didn't know you were going to take up a seat on the couch. I mean, to babysit this guy. But if you want to, you're welcome to speak up at any time, okay? So we've got you there, nature or nurture, I'm not clear. Let's go on talk business a little. Is that okay?
Sure, that sounds great.
Okay, sendouts.com is an applicant tracking system, right?
That's right, a recruitment management software.
Okay, everybody likes to pretend that when they see ATS that they know what it's about. I have an idea. I think I use one, but you define it for us. You know,
sure.
My people, they're not that smart, the guys who are listening to me.
It's simply software that a recruitment firm will use to manage their sales, their recruitment, and then the placement process because their goal is obviously to get a candidate placed in an open job.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about applicant tracking systems in general, and you can use your own product as an example whenever you want to when you can promote it that way. Is that okay?
That's okay.
Okay, So this is software that a staffing firm is going to use to manage the entire recruiting process. You sent me a list, a checklist of features, right, that was put together by a guy named Mark Berger, and I saw him on Extreme TV. Same guy, right?
Yeah, that's right.
He's got a mustache.
Yes, he does.
Okay. So the first thing he talks about is parsing. P-A-R-S-I-N-G. What is parsing?
Well, parsing is that recruiters receive resumes all day, every day, right?
Yeah.
And the key is that you've got to get those stored in a central database. When you store them, you've got to extract all the data from that resume into different fields so that you can run proper searching. So you just don't want to do keyword searching. Let's say I wanted to run a search and find candidates that were they were employed in St. Louis between this date and that date and have these skills and live in this area or whatnot. That requires you to have very accurate data within your database. Well, what a parsing engine does is it imports a resume and it extracts all the data, the contact information, the employment history, education, and skills, and it extracts that data into separate fields so that then you can run very accurate searches. So that when you're running when you're sourcing for a job, you can look in your own database and find candidates that match that job very quickly.
Okay, so it scans a resume and takes the candidate's address information from the top of the page and puts it into the proper fields accurately?
Yes. Remember, it's a computer doing this, so it's not 100% accurate. But you get about 90% accuracy on these imports.
So if you're looking for a certain kind of person in California and you enter California as a geographical factor in your search, most of the people who are in California are going to come up. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Anybody had no success with that? Anybody want to comment so far? I know we're just at the start. No? Okay.
I'll make one comment that the key to any staffing.
I wasn't talking to you, but you can go ahead.
I'll just say that parsing engines are important because the key to the better the quality of data in your own database, the more accurate and quick your searches are going to be. So you got to make sure that you don't have junk in. You got to make sure that data going into your system is quality.
Hey, if you're slurping in all these resumes, how do you know if it's going to be junk or not?
Well, whether or not the candidate is junk, that's a different story.
What do you mean then? What are you talking about?
Well, first you've got to make sure that the resume data, that when it gets into your database, that it's accurate. Now, when you go to qualify the candidate may be a dud, and
yeah,
you may, you know.
But he'll live in California if it says it does. Okay, that's not an issue. Here's what it says on your checklist. Can you parse from Outlook, desktop, text, email, and job boards? What does that mean? I don't have a clue, even based on what you just told me.
Well, as a recruiter, you know that you receive resumes through your email. You might have resumes that are sitting on your computer. You might be searching job boards for resumes. Well,
yeah.
No matter where the resume is, you need to be able to quickly parse that into your software system. Okay, so if you receive a resume via email and it comes into Outlook, which you know most people use Outlook for their email, we are integrated with Outlook and can quickly parse that resume right into Sendouts Pro.
What do? Do you email it into the Sendouts? Sendouts Pro is online, first of all. We didn't say that. It's not on your own computer. It's out in the ether, in the cloud, in the internet, right?
That's right.
Okay, so do you email the resume up there? How does it get there?
There are a handful of options. You can email, but with our integration with Outlook, we put buttons inside Outlook. So if you're looking at an email and you say, oh, I want this candidate in my resume software or my resume database, you just click click one button, and it pulls that resume into Sendouts, and it parses it, extracts all the data, and you can even match the candidate on the fly to one of your jobs.
Okay, but also, so let's say I'm working in an office, and I want to claim that candidate as my own. So it takes the attachment off of my email and attaches it to my name
as
a recruiter?
When an import, yes, because you might be working at a firm with lots of other recruiters, and when you pull that resume into Sendouts, it tags it as your candidate. Now, it'll first look for a duplicate because that candidate may already be in your system and assigned to somebody else. But if there's not a duplicate, just pulls it in and it tags it with your name.
Okay, and it takes, you say here that it takes off, does it take them off job boards or was that just Mark Berger?
No, it does. We've got two different things that are really important for pulling off
jobs. These are important issues, right? We're talking about important issues. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
We have direct integrations, such as we've got a direct integration with CareerBuilder. So when you're within Sendouts Pro and you're running a search, you're looking for candidates in your own database, you can also go and search CareerBuilder's resume bank directly within Sendouts. And so you can, as you see different resumes that match your search, you just have to click one button to pull that resume into your Sendouts database and match them to the job that you're sourcing for.
Okay, so like, can you totally, how many resumes can you take off of CareerBuilder?
Well, that depends upon what your subscription is with CareerBuilder. You know, CareerBuilder, limits. It's you have to have a subscription to CareerBuilder to
do
that.
Yeah, I understand that. But can they tell if you're taking thousands of sucking all these things up into?
Well, you know, I don't know how they track internally, but it's the same thing as if you were on their website pulling down thousands of resumes.
Okay.
Ours is just a faster way.
Okay. Anybody got a comment?
I'm sorry, the animal, but I mean your questions are kind of like Fred Thompson giving his speech last night. Not too.
I didn't see Fred Thompson giving it. He's got cancer. What do you know? Hold on. Give me that break.
Wow.
Actually, my questions are: can you capture URLs and home pages?
This is William Uranga. Tell everybody who you are, okay?
Nobody needs to know who I am.
Yeah, I just got some questions. Okay, sorry, I wasn't supposed to mention his name. He's one of these incognito guys. I forgot. Okay.
I'm easy to be found. No,
too late now.
But if you got a resume, let's even start this. Can you take PDFs?
If the PDF is searchable.
If it's searchable, okay.
Yeah,
so a lot
we can't take just images. We can't take just, like, if you have a JPEG.
Okay. And so outside of that, can you parse and upload home pages and portfolio references in the resumes?
Okay, that's an excellent question. I'll tell you what we've got. We've got a toolbar for Internet Explorer that enables you, if you're searching web pages or searching Google for resumes, you can pull in resumes. Now, here's the thing, is that there's a difference between a resume and somebody's home page. You know, resumes are structured in a logical fashion. A home page may have any sort of structure. And so, sure, you could save a URL within Sendouts that links to that person's home page, but not necessarily parse the home page. But if they've got a resume on there, you can pull that right in. And our toolbar also works with, like, LinkedIn. Because a lot of people are using LinkedIn for their own home page, right? They're keeping that as their central point. And so LinkedIn has structured data, and our toolbar is able to import that data from a LinkedIn profile very easily.
Okay.
Right. So if I'm an end user and I'm using your product and I go in there and I do a search, would I be able to, in addition to finding a person's resume, if they had on the resume a URL to their portfolio page, would I be able to find it?
Well, if they had the URL on their resume page, remember, you're storing the resume within Sendouts, so you're automatically going to have a link to that home page. But your question may be, if I search within Sendouts, am I not only going to search the resume, but that person's home page?
No, you can have a live link to the homepage. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
that's
William?
Correct.
Okay,
oh, you're
William. You see, I don't mind the guy insulted me. He's got some questions here. Go ahead. Answer him.
Sure. So, yes, you can store the link to the homepage within Sendouts, but if you want to store the homepage, you could copy and paste text from the person's homepage into Sendouts. But if it's a resume, you can just import that right in, and it pulls the whole resume in
the
data.
But Sendouts.com has hyperlinks inside the documents in it, right? You can click through someone's resume to his webpage, right?
Yeah, yes, very easily.
William, is that an answer to the question?
I understand what he's saying.
Yeah, I don't. Anyway, anything else? No, I don't do internet sourcing. We do, you know. I have to get my people directly.
But the animal, I'm not thinking an ATS is supposed to be doing internet sourcing. I just want to make sure that if I capture something, if I look at a person's resume in this ATS and they have a portfolio, I'd like to be able to click on that and have a web page open up so I can go look at a portfolio.
Yeah, that's very easy to do within Sendouts.
Okay.
Yes.
Boy, that was a long way to get that answer. That's why I'm the host and you're not, okay? Anybody else?
I'm a little
got a
long-winded.
Question? Anybody else before we go on?
Yes. I have a question.
Go on, Sister Ray. Louder, though.
I'm just wondering how, being that Sendout is an online resource,
yeah.
for recruitment firms and in-house corporate recruiters. How secure is it?
Excellent question. We get asked that all the time. It's very secure. We house our data. We house the whole infrastructure at SunGard, which is a major data center in the U.S., and we employ SunGard for they have a 24/7 managed firewall. Our database itself is secured down. Any data that goes between the individual's computer and our data center is encrypted. And so security is of the utmost importance to us because we're holding the staffing firm's main asset, and you know their database is a huge asset. So security is of the highest importance. And I would argue, because I know that this always comes up, is it says, well, is it more secure than if I just hold it at my office? And I'd say, well, we invest so much more in data security than any single firm could theoretically afford to invest themselves. It just wouldn't be feasible. That we invest so much more that our data is far more secure than somebody holding the data at their own office location and having a DSL come in and having a inexpensive $1,000 firewall on that.
Yeah, okay, but if they don't pay you, you can cut off their access to their data. If it's in my office and I don't pay my rent, I still have my own stuff, right?
Well, we never, never hold people's data hostage. And if there's, you know, we're very close with all of our customers, and we work with our customers. If they're having financial problems or whatnot, we do not cut them off. We make sure that they get their data in an easily accessible format that could be, you know, imported into another system or whatnot.
Okay. Okay. Yin, do you want to coach him? Is he doing anything wrong or right that you should point out to him at this point?
I'm staying out of this one. He's doing fine.
What'd you call in for then? You're taking up a seat, but you can stay there now. Don't feel just if you feel free to coach him as you go. Nobody's gonna listen to this anyway. Anyway, okay, let's move on a little. What does he say when he says, "Can you bulk parse?" Does he really mean can you upload a ton of resumes at the same time? Is that what he's talking about there?
That's exactly what I mean. Bulk parsing is if you had, say, 1,000 resumes that were in a folder on your desktop.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to parse them in individually. You want to take all of them together and select all of them or select the folder and click to have them parsed into send out.
So when you have a new client, that's what they do. They dump everything at once. Is that it?
Yeah, quite often when a new client comes on board, we take the data in whatever system they're using, and we import all of that data. So it's not just resumes. It's their job orders, their clients, all their notes and activities and matches and everything. We import that into sendouts for them. If all they have is a folder full of resumes, no problem. They can just click on the folder and bulk parse the resumes into sendouts, and away they go.
You know, Mark Berger asks a good question. It seems kind of dumb, but it makes a lot of sense. He says, does the candidate profile appear on one page? And, you know, when you're doing this kind of data entry, because sometimes I assume you have to do it by hand, you don't have to keep changing pages. Is that what he's curious about there?
Yeah, that's exactly what he's asking, because it is a pain if the resume or the candidate profile is split across multiple tabs where you have to keep clicking to view different parts of the candidate profile. You need it all on one page where you can quickly access all of the information.
So it's on one page for you?
Yes.
Okay, next thing, blinded resumes. I know that just means to take off the name and address, right?
Yeah, and put on your logo.
Okay, and your machine does that automatically?
Well, we're integrated with Microsoft Word, and so it's very easy. It pulls up the candidate's original resume, and it can wipe off the contact information and stick on your logo. And a lot of times what people do is then they might clean up the resume because they may actually use that resume to send out to a hiring manager.
Okay.
And so, it enables you to quickly create a blinded resume and send
okay,
out.
Okay, and he was talking as well about mass emails. Your product sends out mass emails?
Yeah, that's a huge component because remember that recruiters these days are having to deal with so much more data than they ever had to. There's so many different sources of data. They're pulling it into their system. So then how do I not only search that data and find the candidates that I need to find quickly and accurately, But how do I communicate with them? And so, yes, we've got mass emailing within our system that creates custom emails that can go out to each candidate telling them about a new job, or even what a lot of people use the mass email for is they shoot, they say, let me see all the candidates I haven't talked to in 6 months, and it shows you a list. Then they send out a mass email and says, hey, come back to my website, log in with your username and password, and update your contact information for me.
They have access to their own contact information there?
If you allow them to. If you as the recruiter, if you want your candidates to have access online to their contact information, you can enable them to update that. Because if you've got thousands of candidates, you want to make sure that you have the latest and greatest contact information. You may want to make sure you've got their up-to-date skills, their profile, and you can enable them to update that themselves.
Okay. And can somebody who finds you put themselves in there as well without being unsolicited candidates? Can they do that too?
Yeah. Well, Sendouts integrates with the recruiting firm's website. Okay.
Yeah.
So candidates can come and browse job orders, but they can also create a profile. They can apply to jobs. They can keep that profile updated. So it creates it's a great mechanism for communicating with your
candidate. Okay, so they do that through the website.
Staffing firm's own website.
Okay. Okay, anybody want to say something? I'm assuming you guys have used this stuff and I haven't.
So, yeah, this is one. I got a question too. So can candidates be updated on what the status is of them being submitted to clients?
Yes, I believe we do have a section for that where they can go in and they can see what interviews they have coming down the pipe, and they can see the it's fairly limited because we want the recruiter to have complete control of that part of the communication.
So you know the history of recruiters sometimes not getting back to people in timely fashion.
Okay, that's pretty interesting. Hold on, William, Mr. William. Anyway, he's got an interesting point there. So this way, if you've got a relationship going with a candidate, if you've got a relationship going with a candidate on a certain project, you don't have to maintain contact with that person. You just say, give them a URL and say you can stay informed by going here. And your project, the project you're working on, your specific role in it is going to be outlined for you. Do you understand what he's talking about there? Donnie?
Yes, I do. But and I'm not sure that there's a point where automation takes the human element out of it. And with that sort of communication, if you've got a candidate that is in the process, in the placement process, or is on contract, my suggestion is, it's great they could go online to see different statuses, but my suggestion is that's where you need to be building a relationship or continuing that relationship with the candidate and talking to them.
I disagree. Area code 636, do you want to say hi? No, it's okay. Don't say hi. William, anything else?
Well, I also disagree.
Louder, louder.
Sorry, I'm eating my mic right here. I'm just saying that, to a certain point, there's the whole large unwashed masses that see different opportunities, particularly at a website that they can apply for. Well, unless you're going to be contacting each one of those personally, no, they don't know what the status is other than their resume just fell in the big black hole. So how can you leverage technology in that way to say, you're not being considered at this time?
Sure.
Is my only question. How can you visibly do that without having to do a mass email dump, which they read as a form letter anyway?
Well, they could access that through the website. But what a lot of people do is when they make a placement for a job and they've got all these other candidates that were in line that aren't going to get the job, it's very simple to send them a personalized mass email. I would argue that is that any better than them going online and seeing a status of how they're doing in a job?
Well, I'm not saying it's one's better than the other. I'm just saying you're giving them an option whether or not they have to go and be able to get information or create their own feed, RSS feed if you want to, or whether or not they have to wait for something to be sent to them.
Yeah, they could go online, but they could also – but typically the recruiter will shoot out an email to the candidates that didn't get the job, just letting them know that they –
You should get William into a focus group. Those are good questions.
They're excellent questions.
Because the big thing for us now we keep hearing about is candidate experience, especially a guy like William works for a famous name brand company. There's all kinds of people bugging him all the time trying to get in there. He can't spend his time on them. Right, William?
Well, that's true. And actually, you know, we're more concerned also about the agencies we do work with and how they treat the candidates, because that's actually reflecting us.
Right.
Yeah, you mean if you're the master vendor and you've got vendors that are...
Well, yeah, I guess in that sense, yeah, my company was the master vendor, and we're working a bunch of companies. Actually, you want to spend time with those firms, A, so they can rep us well, and two, want to know that they're treating candidates well so that we don't get a black eye by virtue of association.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay, fine. Listen, I read that article by the penny-pinching guy. I sent it to you, John E. Your name is John E. Breckenridge. And I don't know if your parents, was that a joke that they came up with, but it's a good one. Anyway, he said that online applications are actually more expensive than buying a package off the shelf and installing it in your own computers. And he said this is the reason. If you've got 10 people using a product at $50 a month, that's $6,000 a year. If you buy something, it's a one-time fee, and you don't really have to go for their support agreements. That's optional. This way, you have to take the whole package. Any rebuttals for that?
Well, I completely disagree. Here's the thing, is that he says that, but he also doesn't say how much the software would be as if he bought it off the shelf. And software as a service is just that. It's a service. There's an ongoing service that's being delivered. He doesn't mention that if you pay up front, yes, you're going to still have to pay a maintenance fee. You have to pay to get upgrades. There are a lot of costs in having installed software, the traditional client-server software. And so I just think that he's kind of taking a cheap shot. You know, here's the thing. If software as a service was not less expensive or more efficient and so forth, why is it growing so rapidly?
I don't know. Tell me. You're the expert.
Well, I'll tell you, it's because people realize that it's less expensive to get into. And here's the big thing, is it takes a lot of that headache for IT. It takes that off of their plate, because recruiters need to be recruiting. They need to be focused on what they do best. They don't need to be the IT expert. And that's where we come in. We are their IT expert. If they're having any sort of problem, we're here to help.
You know what? This guy says you still need your IT guys in your own office, because he's got a funny way of saying it. He says, this is like, you know, saying you won't need any IT guys. He says it's like, say, IKEA saying the furniture is easy to assemble. And I swear that it isn't, unless you know what you're doing. He said it's easy to set up, basically, but what if you need customization? What if you need fancy reports? What if you need integration with other systems? I'm going to quote him, whether an application is sitting on a server in Taiwan or in your own office, somebody's got to do the work.
You know, actually, to that point, we centralize the people that can do those customizations, that can create those reports, that can do the integrations. And so we have service that's on demand. So if somebody needs a customization, they just call us and we do it. Yeah, we do it. They don't need to worry about finding the right person or learning the software to, you know, how to customize it. They just pick up the phone, call us, and we do it.
Okay. Anybody got a comment on that one? Because I'm not qualified to judge. I'm not an IT guy. Work first, he's gone.
You know, here's the thing, is that we are offering tremendous economies of scale to our clients.
Let's talk about cost. I think I have your cost from your site. Is it okay if I say it?
Sure.
Okay. Sendouts Pro starts at $100 per month per user. Is that right?
Technically, it's $115 per user.
Okay, and then you charge a fee for each placement of $100. Is that right?
No. No. That's we don't charge anything for placements. All that we charge is a simple upfront fee for when users come on board, and then we charge a monthly fee on a per user basis. Now, if somebody wants extra services like customizations or snazzy reports or integration, we do charge a little bit extra for that, but that's really just based upon what they want.
Okay. Now, you told me how many people you've got on board. Why don't you give us an idea of how popular it is?
We've got over 1,000 staffing firms and 5,000 recruiters that are using our software all day, every day. I mean, it's
how
a mission critical. Over 5,000 users.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And over 1,000 firms. So, you know, these are people, it's a mission critical application. They're using it all day, every day.
And can it ever get overloaded?
No, it's completely scalable. It's we've never had a problem with it getting overloaded.
Okay. Anybody else want to ask a question? I'm just going to keep going through the checklist. Is that a good thing to do, or should I ask you something else right now?
Yeah, this is William. I got another question. With regards to the recruiters...
What are you, the co-host?
Hey, somebody's got to pick up the slack here, animal. All right, there goes my mic. No, seriously, can recruiters add contacts, not resumes, but contacts? And how easy is that to bulk upload? And can you add rules to it so that...
Add what?
You can add rules. Rules, you know,
rules
are animal.
Yes.
Okay. So that based upon certain actions, activities, you can trigger certain messages going out to those contacts that have not become applicants or candidates yet.
Okay. Here's the first of all, we've got an import wizard, because especially on the sales automation side, people will go and find a list that they want to call on, right? And so we've got the ability to import those contacts, those companies and contacts, directly into Sendouts. Okay.
How does that happen? Do you have them already on an Excel sheet, or do you grab them from the internet? What's the story? What are you talking about there?
Yeah, if somebody's bought a list from maybe Hoover's, or they have a call list on a spreadsheet. They could get sales leads from a number of sources.
Okay, but you're. I'm just making clear. You're not a grabbing. So you don't grab information from the net. That's not what you're talking about.
No. A lot of people use something like BroadLook to go and find sales leads. So we can import, as long as the data is in a spreadsheet, we can pull it into Sendouts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to answer your question, where the triggers and really come into play is on the, once you've matched a candidate to a job and you're going to push them through the placement process of qualifying them, of sending their resume out, of scheduling interviews, background check, whatever your process is, that's really where the automated actions come into play. And so it, as you move a match through the placement process of sending the resume or doing interviews, you can have the system do whatever you want. It can change data and related records. It can send emails out. It can put tasks on your calendar to remind you to follow up on that resume.
Can you give an example?
Let's say you've got a candidate that matches a job, and you send the resume to a hiring manager. Our system will put a task on your calendar reminding you to follow up with that hiring manager. Or if you move that match to an interview, you schedule an interview for that candidate at that job site, it will put tasks on your calendar to debrief prep and debrief both the hiring manager and the candidate. So the key is that in that pipeline, that pipeline of all your job order candidate matches, you don't want to forget or miss anything. And so our system puts tasks on your calendar to remind you to take the next step. But it can also do all sorts of things by, any sort of trigger. It can send out an email to related parties.
What you're talking about now, first of all, what you're talking about now is really a tickler function, a prompt, right?
It is, but it's more process. It's more managing your process, because at each stage of the process, you might want the system to do different things. One example is putting tasks on your calendar. Another might be changing the status of a related candidate or hiring manager or so forth. Or it might be sending an email out. Like if you advance to the background check stage, then we can have the system notify the background check company to run a background check on that candidate. So that's really where it becomes process intensive. And it keeps the great thing is that it keeps all the recruiters and account managers in the firm on the same page. Everybody can see the same data at the same time, and they can see
William,
the status.
William, hold on a sec. William, is he answering your question?
Yeah, that's very good and helpful.
What did he miss?
Well, I was going to go to another question I have,
ahead.
If I may. So on the reporting side.
You know what? You got to shout a little. It makes you a little easier to listen to.
Yeah.
I know you like to talk in an analytic way. Don't do that here, okay? Shout a little.
I'm not. Were you at the Democratic Convention last week? You sound like the Messiah. I mean, you're just really loud.
I am. I'm the recruiting messiah. Go
ahead.
There
you go. All right. So my next question is, can you run reports? Can I run analytics about how my recruiters are using the product?
Oh, it definitely. Built into the product is we've got 50 or so standard reports. And quite often, our clients look at those reports and they'll say, I want to tweak this report or that report, or I want to create a totally new report. and we handle that all here at Sendouts. And so as long as the data is in the database, we can report on it.
Right, and the recruiters are using it properly. You can capture the data. So,
William, what are you thinking of? What are you looking for in your report? I'm curious.
I guess I'm interested in looking at effectiveness, you know, how many send-outs versus how many hires.
Okay,
yeah.
Oh, the ratios.
We've got all of those ratios. You could pull it up quickly. You can pull it based on the recruiter. You can also pull it based upon the client. So, if you want to see your send-outs to placement or your resume submittals to send-out to placement, you can see all of those ratios.
When you get feedback from your clients, what do they like best about it, or what have they told you?
Probably ease of use, and it's very logical. It's an in-depth program, but it only takes about 15 or 20 minutes to learn the basics. And it's a lot like Microsoft Word or Excel, where, you know, it takes you about 15 minutes to learn how to use the application, but it's got a lot of power to it that you could spend more time learning and using.
So hold on. I got a question, William. One sec. I've actually used off and on an online tracking system, I guess you'd call it, applicant tracking system. And one thing that was missing was if it was a big ongoing project, there were a lot of candidates, there were a number of recruiters working on it, there was no place in the project for us to leave each other general notes, as opposed to notes specifically related to a candidate. Is there a project summary or status place?
Yeah, when you create notes, you might be making a note on the specific match between a candidate and a job, or it may be just on specifically the candidate or specifically on the job. And so, yes, it can segment out those notes. It really gives you a 360-degree view of anything. If you're looking at a job, you can see all the matches, and you can see all the notes about those matches, or you can see the notes just about the job.
Well, I'm thinking about, you know, a note, let's say, from me to William, and it's saying, John Smith, I'm not sure about this guy. That's going to go perhaps on John Smith's some little, you know, note function attached to his file. But is there a general area for the search as a whole where, you know, this guy's kind of where you can give a summary, so that there's a summary about the search that's ongoing for each other? They don't look at any
debrief.
Yeah, we actually have a quick comment section within the job order where you can quickly make a running tally of comments. And so anything you want to memorialize with the job order, you can put in there, and everybody can access. That's the beauty, is that it keeps everybody on the same page. And so, yes, I know what actions you're taking on the job. You know what I'm doing, and so forth.
Okay, William, back to you.
Oh, just one more question. With regards to the actual use of the tool, is there an analytics tool for that I can see how people are actually using the product? Not the reporting, not just the send-outs, just not activity within it, but how are they actually using the tool so I can actually better train them, or we can suggest product improvement or what have you?
That's a great question. And here's my answer, is that usage of the tool will come out in the reports, in the data. Because if you've got somebody that's not using, say, the workflow or not using a component, you're going to see that in the data that comes out of the reports. I'll tell you, the firm that has done the best on our software, that's grown the quickest, they have taken the stance of, if it's not in send-outs, it never happened. And this is a firm that they pay based upon not only placements, but based upon activity that leads up to the placement. And so they measure all of that. And if a recruiter isn't using a portion of the application, or they aren't using it correctly, it's not going to show up in the reports, and they aren't going to get their bonus, or they're not going to get their placement fee.
I got to welcome two new people. Looks like Harry Joyner is here. Is that true?
Yes, it's true.
Unbelievable. This guy dumped me.
I didn't dump you.
Harry.
Not at all. I've been very busy using send-outs to grow my business. And business has exploded, baby,
hold on a second. Are you using
his
product?
We dropped PCR like a bad habit, and we went with send-outs. And I don't have time to call in and fool around on the Recruiting Animal Show anymore.
Did you hear that, Donnie? What an endorsement. The marketing headhunter is using your product. This guy's famous.
That's great. Thank you.
You know Harry? Do you know Harry?
He knows of me. He cashes my checks every month. I'll tell you that.
Okay. Area card, hold on a second. 440, who are you? Do you want to say hello to Don E?
Of course I do. This is the official recruiting blogosphere Beetle, and I'm here to correct.
Oh, yeah, this is your competition.
The Beetle's here to correct the facts.
This is Martin Snyder. Oh, you're in trouble now, Don. Come on.
I'm Martin.
9 minutes left. You guys go head to head.
Hey, Don, how are you?
Good, good.
I thought I'd call in. CEO of PC Recruiter.
I'm sorry?
I'm the CEO of PC Recruiter.
Right, right.
Yep.
Yeah, hey, you're faking it, Don. Come on.
No, Martin. I see you. You do a lot of postings on ERE and so forth. And so I always appreciate your postings. And so
yeah, I blog it up. Hey, I wanted to talk about a couple quick because I heard what you were saying about software as a service.
Yes.
And I want to chat about that a little bit.
Oh, Don, Martin, hold on one sec.
Sure.
Harry's my friend. He's got to ask the first question.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, animal. I am a rude
caller.
Harry,
do you have a user's question? I don't know, why come your sister isn't on then as well? Do you have a user's question you want to put to the boss of the company? Or a complaint?
No, nothing. We wouldn't get more mileage out of asking Tegan. Tegan is our contact within Sendouts. And the questions that we normally have is just administrative stuff. How can we improve this report or whatever? Hey, but time out. I will ask a very important question here. Why doesn't your software do a better job of integrating with Gmail?
Good question. We're actually looking into that right now. That's been a hot topic around here. It's not just Gmail, but Google Apps. We're doing a lot of investigation into integrating with them. So it's a great question. It's something that we're working on. But I also don't want to promise any vaporware or anything like that. So all I can say is that we're investigating it very thoroughly right now.
Make us a pilot user. When you're ready to beta test that, we'd love to be involved.
Okay.
Now to Martin. He's only got 5 minutes. He's got some tough questions.
Yeah, I'm glad he only has 5 minutes.
Well, let me put some just a preface. Hey, I like Sendouts, and I know you guys have been good competitors for a long time, and I know you serve a lot of people well, and I've only got anything negative to say about Sendouts if you're paying me or there's any money online. But what I want to ask you about is software as a service, because we do a hybrid model. And, you know, if we follow people in the space like our Gartner analyst, Jim Holinchek, he's pretty convinced that the hybrid model for most vendors will be appropriate most of the time. So my question for you is, if you already have a server and you already have an SQL Server license and you already have a database administrator, why would it necessarily be to your advantage not to run an application yourself?
Well, I mean, that's a good question.
Layman's answer.
Without getting too technical, yes, you might have a DBA, and that person may be costing you quite a bit of money. You might have a SQL Server, and you might have a SQL Server license. You're going to have to keep those upgraded over time. And SQL Server, when you point out SQL Server is very expensive. I know, because we have to buy them. We use SQL Server 2005.
Well, Don, the question assumes that these things are already paid for. That we're not, the cost factors for the DBA, the server, and the software are already covered. We're just talking about, why would it be to your advantage to use SaaS when you're already paying for these things? Let's use an example of a mid-sized manufacturing company. They may have two or three recruiters, but they probably own, 15 or 20 SQL boxes. They employ two or three DBAs, and they've got a hefty internet connection. Why would it be that to their advantage to pay monthly plus margin for these items which they already have, rather than just paying a software license one time or whatever the ongoing is? And wouldn't their cost be lower just automatically because they're paying less margin?
Well, Martin, I think that what you'd have to do is you'd have to get more specific into the details of how much the software is to buy versus how much it is to
absolutely
as a service.
Absolutely.
And so it's kind of hard to answer a general question.
Every calculation is different. Well, I'm just coming at you. I'm asking you questions, but I'm giving my position. But the bottom line is, to us and to Jim Holinchek and other people in the space, is and looking across different kinds of applications, not just recruiting, the answer is, for a lot of people, software as a service is a great answer, and it provides them the opportunity to get technology they couldn't otherwise have had, and it's a wonderful thing. But for a significant number of users, they already have all the prerequisites, and if the vendors are ready, willing, and able to license software, it will be much more cost-effective to license it, especially over long duration of use.
Maybe. Okay. If they want to continue paying the ongoing costs of that DBA and of the
maintaining
a top firewall and
they have to anyways, because they have IT infrastructure. There's no There's nothing on the horizon showing companies completely divesting their IT infrastructures right now. Sure, small recruiting offices, 5, 10, 50, even 100 recruiters is a pretty small operation. But no corporation of significant activity doesn't have IT infrastructure of some sort or another.
Well, I mean, and that comes into the question of more if you look at like a Salesforce.com. Why is Salesforce.com? Salesforce.com faces that issue all the time. And they're hugely successful, and they're successful for a reason. And you know, it comes down to the specific questions of getting to the details of comparing the cost of going one route versus the cost of going another route. And yeah. I just have to say that our product is not good for everybody.
Sure.
And just as, Martin, just as your products aren't good for everybody, it just depends
no.
upon that specific situation.
Well, I suggest, I mean, well, I'm not going to suggest, but there is this discussion. It's a pretty lively one. If you guys ever do want to check out Holland Check's blog, it is a big issue among IT decision makers and application buyers right now. And the fact is that some people think there's a software as a sales industry, but it's really not an industry. It's just a delivery model for a technology. And so there's a lot of misinformation out there about when it's best to use SaaS and when it's not.
There certainly, you know, is a lot of misinformation, but you know, but I think that there are lots of, I mean, you've got a
Martin,
product.
He thinks you're a purveyor of misinformation. You guys, this is a good wrestling match. I don't know how much time we
well,
have.
Well, no, I won't go that far, because for most SendOut's customers, SaaS is by far the appropriate model. For 95% of his customers, that's the right choice.
Well, I would hope for all of them.
But that's why they bought our product. Yeah, well, that's never the case with any solution. Were it to be that way with spouses and jobs and everything else, but it never is. But the kinds of customers, there are larger recruiting efforts, especially corporate recruiters who have believed they need to buy a SaaS solution, but at the end they're going to have paid three or four times as much in lifecycle cost.
So essentially what Martin's position is that if you're in a big company, you're not getting rid of your IT department anyway. Buy it and install it on your own computer. However,
sometimes. That's right, Animal. Sometimes.
But here's the thing, is that even if you're keeping that infrastructure, you still need to compare the specific costs. And
yes, you're right.
And
the exact situation,
We've got to get from, you know, Martin, you're throwing generalities at me, but it's, you got to take it on a case-by-case basis. And the company or the staffing firm will make the best decision for their firm. And obviously, that's good.
So we can agree then that that's good that we've come to agreement that indeed SaaS isn't the only viable model.
Oh no, it's certainly not the only viable model. Oh,
there you go.
I agree, and it just depends upon the specific situation. But you know,
I agree absolutely.
And you know you've got a SaaS.
Yes, 80% of our business is SaaS. Just so you know.
I didn't know that. No, I thought you were arguing the opposite way because you were not SaaS at all.
No, we're 80% SaaS. We're 80% SaaS, and it's the best possible thing for many, many of our customers.
Okay.
Many of our customers would have no access to it.
So we have gotten really specific and focused specifically on the SaaS solution, and so that's, you know, we try to do a great job at that specific niche.
Yes. No, and you guys do. I'm proud you guys are in the industry. You guys do a great job.
Yeah, and likewise. You guys do a great job, too.
Yeah, you do all a great job. But you know what? I don't have any more time left for the Gen Y.
Guys, we could talk about people who don't do a good job, but that's for another show.
That's for another show.
All right, Animal.
I was going to ask him a bunch of questions about Gen Y. Now I don't have any time for it anymore. Harry,
there's all the radio in the world, Animal.
Yeah, Harry, do you have anything to say to these guys?
No, not at all. We've enjoyed send-outs, and it's been very, very helpful for
William, anything to say?
No, let's just sing Kumbaya and get it over with.
What about Sister Ray? Are you still there, sis?
I'm still here, yes.
Any comments?
Very interesting. I have not used this type of service before, so very interesting.
Okay. Anybody else? Area code 260 just came on. Do you want to say hello before we leave?
I was just calling to say hello, Animal. My speakers are going bad on my computer, so
hey,
I figured if I dialed
Jerry
in.
Hey, Jerry Albright.
Hey, how
guy,
you doing?
Guy, verbalsummary.com. I
got
a plug-in for you.
Hey, thanks, man.
Donnie, last word to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. If you want to find out more about SendOuts, just go to sendouts.com or give us a call.
Yeah, sendouts.com. Hey, you know what? Maybe we'll have another show on ATS. It'll be a panel show with three or four of you guys, specialists, fighting it out, okay?
That'd be great.
Thank
you
very
much.
Take care, Animal.
Later.
Bye. Thanks, Martin.
Bye-bye. Thank you.